Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
We have an eye on China and the COVID zero policy that is being slowly eased.
Yeah, that's right. It's, of course, been a significant shift that we've seen in China's COVID zero policy in the wake of those unprecedented protests just over a week ago. To try and get an insight into the decision-making process in China, we've been speaking to the author, Michelle Wooker. Now, in 2016, she published a book called The Grey Rhino, which is about spotting risks that are obvious but often ignored. It's a book, a concept, an idea cited repeatedly by China's President Xi Jinping over the years, said to be a big part of the decision-making process in China. So we asked Michelle Wooker if the latest move by Beijing was an application of her theory.
I think the Western media gets it wrong in some ways. I mean, certainly the policy of easing some of the COVID restrictions has been discussed and weighed for quite some time. And in fact, you know, earlier, you know, in November, they were starting to make some measures. And, but I've seen lots of scenarios.
There was an acceleration in the immediate wake of the protests. As you say, we had been getting some information, but there was a definite step up after this set of protests.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that it's been really interesting to watch China deal with gray rhinos, because there often are a couple of gray rhinos charging at each other, and it's hard to tell which one's going to win out. Like with the property market situation, they let the air out of the bubble, and then that created some other problems that then they had to adjust as a result. And we're seeing that with COVID. And I think the Western media has been very surprised by the acceleration after the protests, although from what I understand, at least some of that protest, that acceleration was planned. It was just a matter of the timing. But I think that Western media tends to overestimate how responsive our democracy is to what people want, and how they tend to underestimate how are the ways in which the Chinese government can be responsive in ways that they might not be in the West. It comes down to this really zero sum, our system is better than your system conversation, which I don't think is terribly productive. And it doesn't leave a lot of room for nuance.
We're heading into a very difficult period economically, recession looming in many parts of the world, not only just here in the UK. You work with businesses and governments all around the world. I'm curious, if I were a CEO running a company today, what sort of risks would you be advising me to watch out for and prepare for?
Well, obviously, the change in interest rate environments and liquidity and market volatility is very important to watch. But I find that people often stop as saying, okay, here's the risk. I identified it. I'm going to check the box when I go to my board and say I've looked at the risks. And what companies need to do is to drill down a lot more specifically into how that might affect them, their shareholders, their customers, their employees, what opportunities there might be in responding to it, where are the ways that they can protect themselves from it, and also realizing that sometimes things that look like short-term pain are actually much better over the long term. And the biggest example I can think of this is monetary policy. You know, we've had very, very loose money for quite some time. We did even before the pandemic, and it got even looser. And that created a lot of asset bubbles, whether it's financial markets or real estate or crypto. When I would go to China before the pandemic, of course, and talk about my concerns about these asset bubbles and some of their knock-on effects on financial stability and inequality and economic growth, because bubbles tend to pull money away from more productive uses, people got what I was talking about immediately. And I'd come back to the States and people would say, asset bubbles? What asset bubbles? Let's pump some more air in. And so it's very interesting. You have to spot the gray rhino in the first place, and then assess and really recognize its importance or not, then look at the specific effects and the trade-offs of your potential responses, and then as you respond, really evaluate how well that's working and what you might need to do differently.
Your book and this concept that's become so well known is all about, you know, spotting those obvious events and, as you say, preparing and adapting. What do you feel is the most obvious future issue that we're not ready for?
I think geopolitical t- tensions and almost a really a tectonic realignment is what's been on top of my mind lately. Although I always tell people to spot their gray rhinos for themselves because they're going to see it from a very different angle. But I look at the war in Ukraine, the deterioration of the U.S.-China relationship, and it seems to me that we're just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. We've got so many other global problems, from climate crisis to a lot of social tensions right now related to food prices and inequality. And the geopolitical things are getting in the way of solving the problems that we really need to be dealing with. And so it's kind of the thing I call a meta gray rhino, a sort of structural issue that gets in the way of dealing with the nitty gritty and the real things that need to be solved.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.